we got a few folks with us, so thank y'all for joining us. So if y'all, I'll open this up with an invocation. So if you bow your heads, please pray with me, please. Dear Lord, we love you and thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you and give you praise and glory for all the blessings that you've given us, especially during this difficult time in our country. So be with us tonight and guide us and give us the courage to do the will of the people. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we'll do the pledge. Aaron, you got a flag for us? There we go. All right. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America
and to the
Republic for which it stands.
One nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank y'all. All right. Next up is our consent agenda. And Alex and I talked about the Greenway crossing. We want to take that off the consent agenda and put that on the regular agenda.
So, Mr. Mayor, do we have anybody for public comment tonight? No,
I'm sorry, but thanks, John. Is there anybody out there that would like to speak on any subject? And did anybody sign up?
Yes, sir. I'm not aware of anyone who would like to.
All right. Thanks for catching that, John. All right. Next up is the consent agenda. So the Greenway crossing, we want to take that off the consent agenda and add it to the regular agenda. So let's make that, just make that number 10 and make adjournment 11.
Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess this is premature. I want to make some requests for changes to the regular agenda, but you're not there yet, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll have on the consent agenda the five-year plan that Marcia submitted, and she's gotten feedback. And you know, if somebody wants to take it off the consent agenda, we can, but it's on there now. And then the appointment back of Jill Reed onto the historical committee. So what's the pleasure of the council on the consent agenda?
I'm good with it.
Same.
All right. Somebody make a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the following changes. Remove consent agenda item A, Greenway crossing signal sign, and move that to item number 10.
All righty. Motion by Mr. Richardson. Second by, can I get a second?
I'll second.
Second by Stephen Ayers. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. All righty. Next up is reports. Report from the mayor. I don't have anything. So next up is reports from the town council. I see David first. David, you got anything for us?
No, nothing.
Stephen?
No, sir. Nothing from my side today.
All right. Brad?
No, sir.
Heather?
No.
All right. Linda?
Yes, sir.
All right. John?
Just real quick from the stormwater perspective, Brad, myself, Alex, town engineers met with the residents down on Chestnut at Twin Pines to talk through their flooding concerns and got their feedback. We're taking a couple things back to the drawing board. So thank you.
All righty. Alex, report from the town manager.
Mayor, good evening again to everyone. The first thing I wanted to bring to your attention was the County Water Sewer Interlocal Draft Agreement that we've received. As you all are aware, the county was interested in entering into an interlocal agreement regarding water and sewer service with all the various municipalities in the county. But we weren't quite sure what that was going to look like, what it was going to be. Several weeks ago, we received a draft copy of that from the county. I've shared with you all that and shared with you some of my questions. The county is looking for feedback by the 29th of January, which means that the second meeting in January, the 25th, would be a good time to put that on the agenda and kind of formalize any feedback we want to give to the county. So I would ask for y'all to read that over, look at my thoughts and comments, and please share with me any feedback that you might have. so we can get moving and get that formalized at our next meeting. The second item is the landscaping plan we've received from North Carolina DOT regarding the Monroe Bypass area. Previously, the town had expressed an interest in enhancing the landscaping and the aesthetics of that area, given it is a major corridor through the town of Stallings. And so we've looked at some concept plans. The council said that they liked some in the past. DOT has taken feedback that they've heard and developed some engineering specifications that I've shared with the council, and is looking for feedback from us eventually for them to put in all this landscaping work. They've indicated that the town's going to have to agree to maintain that landscaping areas. And so what I've asked our engineering and public works departments to do is to evaluate it, look, and develop cost estimates, just any sort of issues that may come along with accepting maintenance. And then I would recommend at one of our February meetings coming back and reviewing that with our council and allowing y'all to make an informed decision on whether to increase or accept the maintenance of that area. And then the third item I wanted to touch base with was the issue of the proposed transportation funding within the county's comprehensive land use plan draft. The question was raised as to whether the proposed transportation funding would also apply with for transit, i.e. light rail funding. The coordinating committee had indicated they didn't think that was a good idea, but they had gotten enough public feedback and comments on that issue that they've included that on a list of new questions they're seeking feedback from the public on, and they've extended the comment period for that until January 15th. So if you haven't already, I would encourage you to provide a response to that by January 15th. And we've shared with the public the extended comment period and encourage them to participate as well. And that is all I've got for my individual updates. And I believe, Mr. Mayor, that Engineer Director Platts and Chief Franks have a staff update about individual issues as well.
All right, before we get started, if you're on the call and you're not muted, if you can mute so we don't hear the background noise. We love children, but we're trying to concentrate on the meeting. So if you can mute and just listen, we certainly would appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right.
Mayor, I apologize. If you heard a child screaming boy murder, that was mine. So.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Well, Mayor.
Yes,
can I ask Alex a quick question? Alex, that sewer plan, what email was that? I guess I'm not finding it in my email list here. You know, sure. When that was?
I do. I believe it was maybe a couple weeks ago. And let me look back real quick and I can follow up.
Yeah.
It was on the 31st. And what I'll do, because that, you know, I'm bad about sending a bunch of information all at once. So after our meeting, let me follow up with that individual information just so it's separate for y'all.
I've got it. I just didn't know which one it was attached to. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Ashley, you have an update for us?
I do. Thank you. It's great to see everybody. I just wanted to provide you a couple of updates on some of the park projects. Specifically, our new shade is installed in our playground in the park, and we will be completing that project as soon as we get a spell of some good weather to put down a concrete pad so that we'll provide a seating area for as we get into the spring and more people are coming out to the park. And then also, we are kicking off some of our new program initiatives for the spring. And one of the things that we're doing, Eunice actually started hosting on Facebook today, is a Healthy at Home series. So every Thursday we'll be featuring either some, you know, recipes or activities you can do at home, fitness related, you know, things that you can do with the family. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention as we're moving on into, you know, still not having our large major events, that we're keeping that virtual programming going. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Ashley. All right, Chief Franks.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. I just wanted to update you, as you recall, back at the budget process in June and July, you approved the purchase of body cameras and in-car cameras. In September, we launched the body cams, and officers have been trained and have been using them since September. And just here in the last 3 weeks, the in-car cameras have been installed and are running flawlessly. So the officers have all been trained up on that. The police department appreciates your support in that area, as those are just an important piece of equipment for the police to use. And lastly, I just want to update you. Many of you know, on December 28th, officers responded out to Shannon Marr in reference to a suspicious package. During that, it met the parameters of a potential incendiary device. So we had to call Charlotte police, and they brought their bomb squad out. We were fortunate. They were able to mitigate the situation, and it turned out not to be anything dangerous. But there were an identical package showed up in Arizona with the same characteristics. So it met the need for us to call a specialized unit in. All of our officers and the surrounding agencies that helped us all performed at a high level, and I'm very appreciative of their work.
All right. Well, we are too, Chief. Thank you very much.
Me too. It's just around the block from me.
Yeah. All right. Alex, any other staff report?
Yes, sir. I believe Engineer Easterly has a report on the Pleasant Plains project.
All right. Okay, Chris.
Thank you, Manager Sewell. Duke Energy, Charter Communications, and Windstream have completed relocation of their facilities in the Potter Pleasant Plains corridor. Associate Engineer Russell has been instrumental in collaborating with the utility providers to expedite utility relocation timing in preparation for construction. Utility certification documentation has been submitted to the division utility coordinator and approved. The project manual and contract documents have been submitted to the LAP engineer, and no comments have been received to date. At this time, the town is waiting for authorization from NCDOT to move forward into the bidding phase of this project. A meeting of the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization Project Oversight Committee is scheduled for Thursday from 2 to 4 via GoToMeeting. David Wasserman, who's the NCDOT Western Region STIP manager, will be providing an update on the NCDOT cash flow situation and potential funding allotments for LAPs, including a suspended projects update. So post that meeting, I may have some additional information on timing for our project. Thank you.
Chris and Alex, can we get this in a public notice announcement that we can, each council member can send out to their list, especially Brad and Steven, and since this is in their area. So just I'm starting to get calls from Weddington residents, and I'm trying to be nice to them, but so if they could, we'll see it on our website, and then we can all have something we could send out. That'd be great.
Thank you, Mayor. Alex knows our pain on this one.
All right. All right. Any other staff? Marcia, do you have anything for us other than the 5-year plan under the consent agenda? But anything else?
No, I do not, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All righty. Next up is our agenda approval. So, Linda, you had something for us? Linda, you're on mute.
Muted, Linda.
Yes, Mayor, I wanted to ask if we could postpone discussion of the rules of procedure. I have not talked with staff about the language for the items that we mentioned at the December meeting. So I'd like to do that the first meeting in February. And then the closed session this evening was to hear an update regarding purchase of some real estate next door to the town hall, and there's been no movement on that yet, so I don't think we need that closed session.
All right.
I have to remove both of those items.
All right. Anybody else have any additions?
Yes.
David?
Yeah. John and I were texting back and forth, and the tech committee had wanted to meet, but we're not allowed to meet as a committee due to the COVID rules. So we would like to add an item to our agenda tonight to discuss our town website.
All right.
See if we can help mitigate some of these issues we're having.
All right. Can we slide that in to replace the rules of procedure? So make that number 6. And then before we make any other changes, anybody else? The only one I have, being cognizant of Mr. Easterly, is nervous due to the game tonight. Can we switch 4 and 5 so he can leave? And I know he's got a DVR at home, but so does anybody have a problem with switching 4 and 5, making 4 number 5?
Probably watching it on his phone anyway.
All right, we'll do that. So so the changes are, we're making number 5, 4, and 4, 5. Number 6 is now the discussion about the website. And then we're removing 9. So we'll move up 10, the Greenway Crossing, make that 9. And then adjournment would be 10. So
moved.
All right, motion by Mr. Richardson to approve.
Second.
Second by Mr. Scholl. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. All right, ayes have it. All righty. So so first up is Chris Callenwood. So the first one is just follow up, and the second one is draft sidewalk prioritization policy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the December 14th, 2020 council meeting, the contract with Precision Safe Sidewalks to utilize their patented technology and process to remove the most severe and severe sidewalk chip hazards in Collinwood was approved. Staff was directed to acquire quotes to demolish and replace approximately 757 square feet of sidewalk segments that cannot be repaired utilizing their proprietary saw cutting method. The locations are identified on the enclosed map. To date, staff has received 1 contractor's quote for this work and are waiting for the submittal of 2 additional quotes. Typically during holiday seasons, contractor personnel are out of the office, and this impacts the ability to field review projects and submit formal quotes. So staff is requesting council approval to execute a contract with the lowest responsible bidder once all the quotes have been received and reviewed for clarity and completeness, with a do not exceed cost of $10,000. Work will be scheduled once the contract has been awarded. Can I field any questions?
All right, any questions for Chris or Alex on this?
So Chris, I guess maybe I was misunderstanding the last time. This is not 750 foot of contiguous section. This is just blocks all over the neighborhood that needs to be addressed independently.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Okay. That was a misunderstanding. Thanks for clarifying that. Appreciate it. Yeah, if I go over and undo your cable, that's, you're not going to be happy about that. That's what I took.
All right. Any other questions for Chris?
Hey, Chris, since this is Brad, since this is pouring of concrete, is this weather dependent? You said we'll get the contract moving as soon as approved and the bids have come in and the lowest, but is it a springtime work or is it a wintertime job?
We can complete this work in the winter. As long as the concrete is poured above 40 degrees, then it shouldn't be an issue. And Associate Engineer Russell will be out there to check the subgrade, make sure that's great, and observe the contractor while he's pouring the concrete.
Thank you. Mayor, I make a motion to approve the contract with the lowest responsible bidder not to exceed $10,000.
right.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Richardson, second by Mr. Scholl. Aaron, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right. So you got a priority policy for us, Chris?
Yes, sir. At the December 14th, 2020 council meeting, staff was directed to develop a sidewalk maintenance policy. The purpose of this policy is to formalize inspection, inventory, and maintenance procedures with respect to sidewalk infrastructure management and balance fiscal responsibility with public safety. Maintenance of sidewalks located within right-of-way maintained by a municipality is generally the responsibility of that municipality. In determining if a section of sidewalk is eligible for repair under this policy, the criteria in the table below will be utilized. There's a numerical severity rating from 1 to 3 that is based on the size of the vertical separation between individual panels, i.e. trip hazards, or the size of the cracks on individual panels. Also identified is the timing for these repairs based on the severity rating. Repair methods utilized would be demolition and replacement, edge grinding, and sealing of cracks via epoxy. An inventory of the sidewalks will be maintained by Engineering and Public Works with inspections on a rotating basis. Citizens may request sidewalk inspections by contacting Engineering and Public Works via email or any other written correspondence. Once documentation is complete, staff will be out to investigate within 5 business days. As funds are allocated, sidewalk sections rated 2 or 3 will qualify for repair, while sections rated 1 would be monitored on an ongoing basis. So staff is requesting approval of this policy. Legal has reviewed and comments were incorporated. Can I field any questions, please?
I assume the severity rating of 1 being a schedule none is due to funds availability, or is there another reason?
Well, traditionally, when you have trip hazards that's less than a 1/2 inch, that's generally considered a safe passage. Oh. Typically, ADA standards, once you get above 1/2 inch, that's when repairs need to be completed.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Any questions on this policy?
Just a comment, Mayor. I think the policy is good. The part that doesn't show up in the bullets, I don't think, is what you said about citizens can call proactively if they see a sidewalk in front of their home. So I would ask that be highlighted and emphasized a little bit, perhaps more than this policy seems to indicate. It seems like that's your first line of information and those who are walking them every day. So to me, that means a very robust place on the website to report hazards and some public relations, some proactive communication to neighborhood associations. So I'd make that a little bit more prominent in the policy.
Yeah, I agree.
Mayor, Mr. Mayor. Is there any plan to walk the sidewalks and do a preliminary inspection the way we did with the street policy? Or do we have any sense of what the condition of the sidewalks are throughout the town at this point?
I was planning on getting the methodology in place. Then once the methodology was in place, we can field inspect and then kind of rate accordingly with what's been identified in the policy.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Don't we run into a little bit of the same problem, just about like Linda was saying, is that there's sidewalks that the town owns that are inside the limits, just like there's streets that we own, but aren't there also sidewalks within the town that we don't own that are on some of our major thoroughfares? Do we Are those sidewalks included? I thought they were maintained by either the county or the state.
This policy would just be for town maintained facilities. So if a sidewalk is maintained by the state or it's privately maintained, then that entity would be responsible for maintenance and repair.
So I would just ask if possible, I know it's caused us a little bit of grief with the street policy, if in the same kind of theme that we could take and put some language in here, just making sure that folks understand that not all sidewalks are owned by the town, and that we may have to necessarily shift that to the appropriate owner if we have residents call in about certain sidewalks.
Yeah, I think you can blend in if you want to call in and find out if your sidewalk is eligible, if it's town owned, something language like that. I think y'all can blend it in easily.
Yeah, exactly. I just know that we get beat up a lot for roads that don't belong to us. So I'm trying to put a little bit of something to maybe stop that bleeding in advance.
All right, can I get an motion on this then?
Mr. Mayor, sure. I make a motion to approve the sidewalk maintenance policy with the additions on the suggestions made by the council.
Yeah, no suggestions being the call in to see if your sidewalk meets the criteria and to see if that sidewalk is town owned or not. So.
Could I ask a quick question? So I want to clarify, I think it's always helpful to when it comes to policies to get them updated in writing and then bring them back. So the policy as it stands now, it says we kind of document things. People can call in, they can email in, and then we would, investigate that. It almost seems like what I heard from you, Councilmember Ayers, and from you, Councilmember Richardson, is just an effort in addition to what's on the policy to really advocate and let people know and make it easy on the website. Hey, if you see an issue with the sidewalk, let us know and then we can investigate it. But that's an important part of it. Is that correct, or did I maybe presuppose what Stephen and Brad y'all had said?
Alex, I thought that was fine. I wouldn't hold up the adoption of the policy. I think educating and promoting about a policy is different than approving a policy. So I'm comfortable with approving it tonight, as is.
And I think for me, Alex, I mean, when we move, we're advertising this policy and it has certain guidelines on it. You know, once you move to a sidewalk we don't own, that's a different policy. And so I just don't want our citizens to think that, just because they call in, it's going to get fixed within the time periods that we're presenting here, that it might actually take longer based on the policies of who governs that sidewalk.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing is two things. One, we want to be sure to go out and educate our public that, hey, we need your help in identifying a lot of these issues. And then secondly, we need to make clear what sidewalks the town is able to fix and what we're not able to fix. Does that sound fair?
And if possible, even, and you know me, Alex, I'm gonna ask if, just like we do with like the street lights when they're out, we give a phone number, maybe even, hey, if we determine that it's not our sidewalk, we'll let you know and right. Forward it to the appropriate folks. So, just trying to bring full service there.
Sure. As we get this prepared, let us maybe work on how we update our website and update our updates and maybe promotional items on social media. That's super great feedback. Thank you, Stephen and Brad.
All right. We got a motion. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Grooms. Aaron, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right. The ayes have it unanimous. All right. Thank you, Chris. All righty. Good luck tonight. All right. Next up, the audit. Hold up. And Ms. Mills, are you with us tonight?
I am.
All right. Well, thank you for being patient.
Sure. Well, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to take this opportunity to answer any questions that you guys have and just kind of give you a brief synopsis of how everything turned out for the year. Once again, thank you for the opportunity of allowing us to provide this service for the town. We have a great relationship with the town, and we really enjoy working with the staff and everyone there. We did issue an unmodified opinion, which is a clean report. We had no issues with any of the financial information or the processes that we encountered. And we've got a few graphs here just to kind of do a big highlight of everything that was in the statements. This first one here, as you can tell, we've got 3 years. Everything's kind of consistent. You've got some growth in your revenue. I do want to point out that under miscellaneous for 2020, that number does jump. That was the $1.6 million for NCDOT, the PAPAS project. So that's kind of like an in and out. In governmental accounting, we have to show those ins and outs. We cannot net those together. So that's the revenue side of it. And we'll see the expenditure side on the next slide or two. Permits and fees also increased from 2018. You know, it was 85 and now it's 300, 306. That's just an increase in zoning fees, parkland, fees in lieu of parkland, traffic impact analysis, and civil citations. All of those combined kind of accounted for that jump from 18 to 19. And the next page, we have the expenditures for the general fund. And I guess, Aaron, can you flip it to the next page, please?
There it is.
I'm still showing revenues. There we go. Thank you. So again, 2020 under public transportation, there's the NCDOT. This was 1.9. So that's the 1.6 revenue from the prior page, the revenue that came in from PAPAS, plus 350 from the town that was committed for that project. Again, your expenditures, just like the revenues, are trending slightly up. That's to be expected with the growth of the town. You also have a new column over there on the far right. That's the debt service. That's for your new town hall and public works building. So this was the first year of payments, principal and interest for that building. And the next page is revenues versus expenditures. So this just kind of gives you totals of the ins and the outs and the increases to fund balance. You have not had any decreases to fund balance. They've all been increases.
Emily, this is Brad. Just one quick question. There's a yellow color code on the previous slide that just didn't have a label on it. What might that have been? 2020.
It's a debt service.
Yes. Yeah. I think
that service is
that's gray.
Yes, just maybe report back to us on that. I'm not sure what that.
Well, we got three grays on the right hand side, but only two.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be one of those three. And it's so small, it probably debt service.
Okay, yeah, that satisfies me. Thank you.
Okay, and one more slide there. Okay, This is just showing your buckets and fund balance. So fund balance is reported as assigned, restricted, unassigned, and committed. And pretty much those are about the same. The assigned includes subsequent years' expenditures and minimum fund balance policy that the town has enacted. Restricted is restricted by state statute. That's a North Carolina general statute mandation that you have to have a certain portion restricted. Powell bill money that is unspent and drug forfeiture money that is unspent is also included in that bucket. And then committed, you have the fees in lieu of parkland, and then the Chestnut roundabout that was the 350, of course. That was in there for 18 and 19, and then that was spent in 2020. So that's the reason that jumped down. Everything else falls underneath the unassigned column. And the next page just kind of details everything that is in those buckets. And the next page, this is the real property levy. So that has increased over the 3 years that we're looking at here. You're now at 3.6. And the next one, this is the last one. This just kind of shows of the levy, here's what you're collecting. So the town is currently, the collections are really good. You're at 99.7%. That is a small decrease from the prior 2 years. That is to be expected just due to the pandemic. People are slower to pay, and that's been seen across the other units as well. So is there any questions that I can answer for anyone?
And then we'll get a copy of this. When does that come out?
The report, we finalized the report prior to October 31st. And then these slides, I think, were supposed to be sent to you last week.
Yeah, I got these slides, but we usually get a nice book that's, you know, 30 pages long. And so have we gotten that yet? I don't think I've gotten a copy, but.
Mr. Mayor, this is Marcia. I did send it out via email today as a PDF.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I had sent it out to everyone. I did not print a hard copy yet, but I will print hard copies and send them out to each of you like I had in the past.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I don't need a hard copy as long as I got it somewhere. So
okay. It's in email today. I sent it out to Mayor and Council this morning.
Okay. And if somebody wants a hard copy, just ask Marcia to do that for you.
One last question for me. Does slide real property assessed levy, does that include business personal property from industrial equipment and office and all that stuff, or is it just real estate?
That includes the business personal property as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, Ms. Mills, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. All right, next up is six, the website tech committee with David and John. I'll turn it over to y'all.
Well, I find it kind of ironic that earlier in the meeting, I don't know how many times folks were talking about the website, getting it out there to our citizens and staff to use, and been frustrating 10 days maybe for our site to be down. John and I have been texting back and forth about this, and chime in here, John, Stephen, you too. This is kind of unacceptable. Our site is not a complex site. It's not a very, it doesn't need a ultra level of security at all. It's information only. So I think we need to look at alternatives to continuing with this service.
I agree. You know, Aaron has been kind enough to send out kind of the reports from the vendor and what the vendor is selling. I'm just not buying. It just flies in the face of a lot of things that are best practice in the industry today.
Well, I have no problem us going out and seeing if we can get better service, better price, you know, better everything. So
but it's a real price thing, but it's definitely a service thing. This is unbelievable. This is the second time he's been down, or our site's been down in the last 2 or 3 months. And this one's a major one.
Yeah. So who's on the tech committee besides you and John? Or Stephen, are you on it? Or just y'all two?
I think he is, but I don't know. You on it, Stephen?
I don't think so. No, sir.
We haven't had a meeting forever. So if you want to be on it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know who. Yeah, I didn't.
We can't really meet as a committee. That's the problem. Another problem.
Well, you can meet virtually, can't you? Or
Alex, chime in here.
Just tell me how y'all want to handle it. That's what's your recommendation?
Got a suggestion as the ignorant IT person here that I'd like to make. David's correct in that the town's policy doesn't allow for the technology committee to meet. What I would suggest is, as a manager, I'm all for using the assets on the council to help. Right now we've got, you know, three IT experts that are more than willing to help, and we really appreciate that. I would suggest in the coming weeks, let's get the website back up and then have a member of the technology committee. Let's select one person to kind of work with staff since the tech committee can't meet as a whole, and then bring them in to talk with the vendor, with staff, and works towards that evaluation and figuring out if we need to change vendors there. That'd be kind of my suggestion. How does that sound, y'all?
No concerns with that. Dave, you deal with more of the websites than I do. I'm more of an architecture guy. Would you mind taking the lead?
I don't mind. It's just the frustration of this process is amazing. I mean, I'm not even, Aaron, I don't know how you deal with it so calmly, but.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be. I'm like.
Patience of the saint.
I've had a tech problem over the weekend, and I think there's nothing worse than for a tech consultant to have tech problems that,
we share your frustration for sure.
All right, so David's going to take the lead with working with Alex and staff. And all right,
thank you all. Thank you, David.
Quick question.
Yeah, Stephen.
Hey Alex.
Yes, sir.
Do we own our domain name as the town, or does the hosting group own our domain name?
I believe we own the domain name. Aaron, do you know the answer to that?
That's correct. We do own our domain.
Okay. All right. There you go.
All righty. Next up is the annual retreat. Alex.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a PowerPoint I'm going to bring up here. Okay. Can everybody see the Coors Light Mountains there?
Yeah, that's nice. Nice there.
All right. So the retreat is something that I'm really passionate about each year. I know that sounds silly, but for me as a manager, it gives me the opportunity to work with the board and see you all work with each other to really kind of set the priorities for each year. As you all know, being veterans now of local government experience, it's typically held annually, and we talk about things, priorities, consensus building, team building, focus on the big picture, and really try to set our high level approach to the year moving forward. It's often held in a location other than the typical council meeting room. The idea being, let's get out of our normal thought processes and think differently. And oftentimes there's a facilitator that will help in identifying. So in 2020, we've taken the same approach the past couple of years, where we do a priority setting charrette. And here's a general summary of the priorities established last year. This isn't all the details. This is just, again, a general summary. downtown creation, aligning land use plans with council vision, economic development, transportation, communications, and enhancing Blair Mill Park. So for the 2021 annual retreat, and a bit of a different approach for several reasons. First, we've gotten some council member feedback that the priority setting charrette, that might not be the best approach. Several of the 2020 priorities are multi-year priorities for various reasons. We don't have any new council members. I think that's for the first time, whether it's because of election or resignations and appointments or for whatever. The council had tabled some downtown recommendations to the annual retreat. And really, it's like anything. You can focus on a couple of things, do them real well, or you can focus on a bunch of different things and not do everything as well. Here's a new possible approach for consideration and discussion. We would do a welcome. A team building activity would be optional because y'all know that I love that stuff. And then we would look towards our priorities that we have and we've reaffirmed. Review progress towards priorities. Have the individual staff member who's in charge of working towards those priorities. Help the council understand where we're at and where we're going. So there's a layer of accountability there. And even though we're defining these priorities, in some cases as multi-year priorities, let's talk about what a success look like for the next calendar year, because even though they're multi-year, for the next year, what does success look like? What concretely do we need to and want to achieve? And then talk about an overview of barriers to success that those benchmarks might have. And then do that for each of our priorities, kind of run through it. So after we do that, we should have a good takeaway of the priorities, where we're at, and then what the definition of success should be for the next calendar year. And then from there, focus on the top scoring priority and the subject that the council had specifically tabled to the agenda, which was downtown creation. And the thought there would be have an expert panel from various backgrounds who would come in, look at our current downtown creation action plan, and then from there let the council know, hey, this is a good idea, or yeah, it's good, but you might want to tweak something, or it's hot garbage, because those are the things we need to know before we go any further. We think it's a good plan, but let's get some experts to look at it, and then to do like a Q&A with the council and these experts to really talk about various downtown issues that we might have, various questions that you all might have, and hopefully getting a level of comfort to where the council could feel comfortable with saying, all right, the downtown committee's recommendations and the action plan we've got, this makes sense, we're comfortable with this, yes, we want to move forward, or no, we're not ready to move forward, let's make some adjustments. And then from there, just retreat feedback, how'd it go? And then the mayor and I talked, having a miscellaneous catch-all thing in case there's any other smaller items we need to discuss. And then adjournment from there. So with that approach, we sent out a doodle poll. And the date and time that worked, the only time that worked for everybody who responded was Saturday, February the 27th. And then second issue is whether to do the location, whether it's in person or virtual. If you do virtual, it's clear we can do a full agenda. One of the things we've talked about after talking with you one-on-one, seems like there may be a desire to hold it in person or at least do a hybrid. So we look back and evaluate, all right, could we do the same virtual as we could do a hybrid or doing everybody in person? And there will be several, I don't want to say they're complete barriers to it, but several challenges. And the first is that if we have everybody in person, I don't think we could get everybody, all the experts we're hoping to get. For example, I don't think we could get somebody from the state. I believe there's a ban from them meeting in person in some cases, and certain travel. Additionally, some people might not feel comfortable coming. So the next question becomes, all right, could we do some sort of hybrid, something where perhaps the council members are in a permanent location and, you know, the experts are coming in virtually, and look back and saw at our October 9th memo that we'd sent to council. And what we said in our evaluation is, due to our current technology, a hybrid meeting would not be a viable option. So those participating virtually would not always be able to see or heard by those physically in the council room or others joining virtually, and vice versa. And it would cause communication difficulties, would not allow for a live stream / recording that captured all participants. So it sounds to me, that just sounds frustrating. So if we wanted to do in person, you know, what we could do is just focus more on the review and setting the goals and looking at the calendar year. So those are some of the pros and the cons. Clearly in person is better from a just interaction and communication standpoint, but obviously from a technology standpoint, there could be some clear challenges there. So we'd like some direction on that. So from what I've shared with the council, from what's in the recommendation, approving the suggested different, if you agree with what I'm telling you, the next step would be to approve the different approach, reaffirm those 2020 priorities, approve the sample agenda generally, and then set the council in a retreat for the date that works for all respondents. So, Noah, I threw a lot at you right then. Happy to answer any questions or, you know, talk about it, or sit back and let y'all discuss amongst yourselves. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. Any questions for Alex?
I got one. You said the previous slide, you said something about a hybrid not being workable. Can you split back to the previous? There
sure,
you go.
Absolutely.
Now, seems to me if we had all of us in person and our guests on video, that would be, we would be able to do that. I understand that this particular comment was probably to having a mixed or hybrid where some of us were there and some of us weren't there. But if we're all in, if we go that route, if we're all in person and we have just a video hookup to the the panel, that would work as a hybrid.
Aaron, can you help me with that, please?
I definitely would have to, you know, think through that and consult people way smarter than me when it comes to IT. But my first thought is that we can certainly do that. I just want you to keep in mind that when you do things like that, everything is not able to be recorded together as one meeting. We wouldn't necessarily be able to record what's happening in the council chambers or the lobby, wherever you guys chose to be, and you know, whatever is happening on video. That's my understanding.
All you want to record would be the audio, right? So you just stick the microphone in front of the speaker and it would catch us as well as the panel.
In theory, yes, that sounds good, but I'm not sure that we actually can reach the speakers. They're usually in the ceilings. So I'm not really sure exactly how all that would work. Definitely not saying it can't be done, but I would definitely have to consult with Vitaly and how all of that works together. But it's a challenge getting everyone to hear and see each other at the same time. If you want back and forth.
Well, so I guess the only place that we could do it, if we do it that way, what David talks about is, you know, at town hall. We couldn't do it at Divide because they don't have the capabilities to do that audio. Correct.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I don't know what the Divide capabilities are.
Town
hall is the best place to have that.
Right.
Reliable, known technology. They can hook it up ahead of time, make sure it works, and it would probably be better to do it in our new town hall atrium or whatever, a lobby. That's what we call it.
Yeah, that's what I recommend. I know. Alex talked about doing it offsite where you're, you know, thinking differently, but it makes more sense just to do it at town hall. We have that nice facility. If we've never been in it, it is offsite.
I will let the council know if you do want it recorded, you would have to do it in the council chambers. Now, of course, we always do have the handheld recordings like we normally do, but there's not recording capability in the lobby. There's definitely AV capability where you can definitely put things on the screen, but there would not be recording capability out there. Unless you use the handheld digital like we've done in the past.
Always seems to work fine.
Yeah, it works fine.
Not to be that guy, but I would not be comfortable meeting in person still. And I'd be concerned about the message it sends. I mean, we're at 20% as of today's COVID test in Union County. So I just, to me, with a, you know, some of my family is high risk, and I just don't want to even take the chance.
Right. Well, I've been consistent from day one, and I said if one person does not want to meet, the whole group will not meet. So that settles that. We will do a virtual meeting somehow on the 27th. You know, like we're doing now. So.
Yeah, Mayor, I'll support John's thoughts on that. For that reason and a different one, I think having it virtually gives us two advantages, maybe three. One is that the public could join and listen into a portion or all of it. Number two, you might get better panelists. You might grab a small town, downtown developer from Littleton, Colorado, and I just made that up. But you might find somebody that would join us from out of state that could really add value. And thirdly, I haven't talked about this with Alex, you might have the opportunity to break it up. 9 to 2 is about 1 o'clock. We all start to phase out after lunch, but this might give you a chance to do a multi-phased retreat. And I don't want to add complexity to this, so I wouldn't make a motion toward that end. But as Alex puts it together, it might be worth considering splitting it up into two, and virtually just would be a lot easier. So I appreciate your thoughts, John.
All righty, and then so we settled that. We're going to be meeting virtually. So how about the rest of Alex's recommendation with the different approach?
I'm good.
Any disagreement?
I like this approach. And one thing I would ask you to explore, Alex, is the possibility with the panel of maybe doing some breakout rooms, because I know you can do that on Zoom. So we might actually maximize the benefit of the time and the discussion if we had some brief, not an hour at the time, but some discussion with subgroups with the experts. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. What does everybody think about that?
How do you do a breakout in Zoom?
You can do it. We've done it with some of the CARPO Zoom meetings.
You just get a different sign-in for that group or something?
Well, no, you do it within the context of the larger group. I personally can't do it, but I don't know how to do it, but I know it's fairly easy if you know how to operate Zoom.
Yeah,
Aaron probably knows.
I've never been in one, so I was just curious.
Thank you, Lynn.
So
Alex, the charge to you and Aaron then is to figure out, you know, we'll do it by Zoom and then get your expert panel together. And as Brad said, it might be somebody from out of state. We don't know. Somebody done it before has a better mousetrap. So
the bar has been raised. Thank you. I'm enlisting Central Ina to help me get in some really good panelists. So I think that'll be key in getting good folks and really getting good folks from different backgrounds, because not everybody looks at it like government does. So I think it'd be helpful.
Do we have a budget for this retreat because I expect some of those panel members might have to be paid.
You know, I was operating under the assumption that we wouldn't be able to pay folks. So, we put in a little bit of money each year for a facilitator, which we may not use this year. Although doing it virtually, maybe a facilitator is a good idea this year, but we hadn't budgeted for really compensating folks. And nobody's asked yet, but I'm certainly not necessarily opposed to it, but I don't think, obviously it would have to be reasonable.
All righty, any questions for us, Alex? Are you clear on what we want?
I think so, yes, sir. And if it's not looking good, y'all let me know, okay?
All right, thank you. Well, it'll be here before we know it. And it's a little over a month away. So any other questions, comments? All righty, we'll move on to number 8, the Western Union Municipal Alliance. Stephen.
You're muted.
Man, and it sounded so good too. Now I got to start over.
It was good practice. Hey,
which means I'll mess it up this time. So with the Western Union Municipality Association, typically if it's just informational, I usually bring that to you guys as part of my councilman report. And then if it's something that they've actually voted on as a group and it's actually passed that group, I'll typically bring that as an agenda item to our meeting. The thing that's on our list tonight is a little outside of that. And so not only do I want to talk about how this ended up in our agenda, but I also want to talk about the specific item that's on here. And one may preclude the other. So this one here, one of the members, this item that's on our agenda tonight, one of the members actually reached out just to the distribution of the Western Union Municipality Association and asked that we review and pass a similar, proclamation or guess, basically stating the same thing, but coming from our particular town. I guess kind of just to put it out there, obviously I'm still the newbie on the team here. My thought would, based on how we interact with the WUMA, is that we would really expect the things that they wanted us to review would actually go through their meeting, get approved, and then come to our town. And for another town to ask us to basically vote on something that we have no specific association with or impact from, I'm not really sure sets the right precedence here. So I guess what I'm asking for you guys to do is a small discussion here on whether or not we feel like the right thing to do with this particular group is, if I bring something to this group that it to look at to make some type of vote on, that it would actually get approved by that group prior to coming to us. And that if you feel that way, I'll take that back to the group that asked us about this particular item. However, if you don't feel that way, then we'll need to look at this item tonight to see whether or not we want to instruct the staff to write up write something up that we support Wesley Chapel in this motion. And I just kind of want to get a feedback from the group as to how they would like to handle some of these items coming from our Western Union Municipality Association partners that's not officially through that group's approval process.
So this didn't come through the group. It came from an individual town in the group.
Yes, sir.
So what the Union County 2050 comp plan is doing
is exactly what Wesley Chancellor is asking for in Weddington and these other towns. It's basically, it sets the direction for the county to listen to the municipalities and grant that ETJ around for the donut holes. So I think there might be more bang for the buck for council to consider, you know, a proclamation supporting the draft of the Union County 2050 plan that contains that rather than individual piecemeal for these various towns.
I agree with that because I don't know. First of all, this is mislabeled on the agenda item. It looks like it's coming from the Alliance and it's not. It's coming from an individual town. I don't understand. We're not privy to their situation, what's going on, and they ask us to just jump on board with zero information and certainly isn't coming from the Alliance. I'm not inclined to approve this tonight.
Anybody else? All right, so
I agree.
I
agree with John. I think the county's comprehensive land use plan action item about donut holes and adjacent properties in unincorporated areas is a much more powerful tool. This seems strange, and I don't mean to dismiss it, but I don't feel it's appropriate for the town to vote. So I would abstain or not vote. Just strange.
So I want to be very specific here that the county actually does come to the Western Union Municipality Alliance. And the reason why that this group actually was started was based on some of the items that came out of what we just talked about, that comprehensive plan. And so this is a group that's trying to not only share ideas between the towns, but also work together towards some of the ideas that have been brought up on that 2050 plan. And the 2050 plan has been on the topic, and folks have been there from the county to discuss the 2050 plan for our last two meetings. So it's all, I want to say it's kind of bundled together, and we're just kind of approaching it from two different angles, if you will. But based on what I'm hearing, anybody else, I'm going to reply back to this saying that, you know, we would prefer not to approach topics that are specific from an individual town, that if it is a Western Union Municipality Alliance member, that those topics come through that alliance. And then if it makes progress through the alliance, then it would come to the members to review. And if there's any voting action, would happen that process instead of a one-off request from a member.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Sounds great. So I'll send that out. I'll CC Alex and yourself, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. All righty. Next up is the Greenway Crossing. Alex, can you take the lead on this one? I know you sent out an email summarizing what the state is asking of us.
Yes, sir. We'll be glad to. So as you all know, the town has engaged for hard design to be done for one of the first legs of our greenway over by the Vickery subdivision in Blair Mill Park. And as part of that, NCDOT has required a special type of pedestrian crossing, specifically a hybrid beacon signal, which is known, I think, somewhat more informally as a hawk beacon. And so council, we talked about it last time, council approved the funding. You know, council was aware of, or we talked about the cost. DOT charges up to $6,000 for the review and inspection of signals. And then with that being said, they think it'll probably be more in the cost of $2,500 to $3,500. So in order to complete the design on this, allow them to inspect it and do field inspections, they're requiring us to enter into agreement with them, which is what is on the agenda.
All right, thank you, Alex. Any questions? Any questions or comments?
So,
well, I'll give you my 2 cents. One, it's a state maintained road. They're out of money, so I don't know what these engineers or projects are working on. So it seems to me they have a lot of free time, and they are requiring this of us to meet their standards. So I have no idea why they would be charging us money. I know they said they've done it in the past, but that doesn't matter to me. If some town's stupid enough to pay the NCDOT public employees money, that they ought to be doing this. This is what they do to serve the state with our taxpayer money. So I would be in favor of not paying them a dime and then going back to them and telling them so.
Hear, hear.
If we take that approach, what's the risk of, you know, them just delaying stuff indefinitely? I know we're not anywhere close to breaking ground on this greenway, but, you know, if it gets kicked to the curb for a year, what does that do to us?
I've been answering that, John. So this would be, you know, having them inspect this and approve it would be a requirement. So, we would not be able to bid out this project until we got the approval from DOT that it was good. So
nope.
What this would be to hold.
We're losing you, Alex.
All right, can you hear me now, Mayor?
Well, I got you now, but we lost. I couldn't hear a lot of what you said.
Yeah, you're perfect. Coming in and out.
Okay, I apologize. Let me repeat myself. So I think the consequence if we didn't get DOT to review this would essentially be that the hard design would be all done, except we could not complete get DOT approval. And so we would not be able to bid it out. There's still, you know, one loose end out there. We're still waiting to get a vote back from the Vickery HOA. So we can get the easements from them to necessary to build the enhancements that their HOA had requested. But assuming we get those, this would be the last loose end I think we need to tie out before we could go to bid. And so we wouldn't be able to go to bid without getting DOT. So we would, you know, we would just be in a holding pattern until DOT gave us the go ahead. So that's probably the consequence.
Should be waiting.
Well, the same thing, you know, I certainly know DOT has to approve it because it's a state maintained road, and that's my point. But similar to what we just talked about with the Stinson Farms, you know, we can take what they suggest and not come back, or we can push back and saying, hey, this is, you know, state maintained road, you're a state employee, we pay taxes. Why are we having to pay $2,500 to $6,000 to get our plans reviewed? You know, we didn't have to pay. I don't think we've ever had to pay NCDOT for any plan review in my memory, but it just makes no sense to me.
What I would suggest then is I'm hearing these arguments. Let me package them and relay them to NCDOT and see if we can get a reduction or a deletion of the cost. And I'll follow up with the board and let you know what they say. Yay or nay, and if they say no, we're not going to waive the fee, then I'd like the permission to bring this issue back to the board.
Sure.
Great. And Alex, I appreciate and smile at the mayor's comments. it's fantastic. I would be looking for the pot. It's not a lot of money, but I think it's more of a principled thing is what I'm hearing. I'd be interested in the policy that is set by the state that requires towns to do this. That would be helpful for me to have some background if I'm going to vote on it. As it was characterized by the mayor, it felt like it was more ad hoc, unorthodox, and almost double dipping, which we would certainly not do. If there's a policy that requires, and there's a line of business that is, and I'm happy to listen to it, but yeah. I appreciate the mayor's comments.
All right, that sounds like.
Does this at all hinge on whether Vickery approves the right of way?
Everything hinges on that to a certain extent. So we've incorporated the requests that their HOA board have made as far as the upgrades that they want to see into our design. So if their board or if their HOA didn't approve what they were requesting in the vote, then we'd have to change the design to take away what they had requested. And that could probably result in some movement of the Hawk Beacon, but as far as the Hawk Beacon goes, I don't think that would change it too much.
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Yes, Stephen.
I mean, Alex, even when they recommended this, I mean, they're making us put this Hawk Beacon in. If I remember, there were several members of the council that asked questions about other crosswalks that are on roads that are just as busy that don't have them. And I think somebody mentioned the one that's, you know, just got put in right here at 485 and Matthews downtown. So it almost seems like, you know, the cat is guarding the canary to some extent too, is that it didn't seem like, based on that meeting, we had clear guidelines on why we got flagged and something like that would not get flagged. Like there was no clear, well, because of this, this, and this, that's what's driving this particular requirement here, where it may not be necessary other places. So it kind of seems like now they're telling us it's required and then going to charge us to do the work too. So I don't know. Seems
somewhat ironic. Well, I think I've got it. This is super helpful feedback. I think it sounds like the main point is one of fairness. We want to make sure that what we're being charged here, you know, that'd be a requirement always, and also one of principle as well, as it doesn't seem quite right to us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to DOT, clarify the policy that requires the cost, communicate that we feel like there shouldn't be a cost for this because the town, you know, DOT had required it. And then we want to clarify other examples of municipalities being charged for similar work.
You and Brad have hit the nail on the head. What's the policy? Yeah, show that to
Perfect.
Us. So appreciate y'all doing that. All righty, that concludes our agenda. Any comments that we need to wrap up? All righty. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Wait, we didn't tell Linda happy birthday.
What's that?
We need to tell Linda happy birthday from a couple of days ago.
All right. Happy birthday, Linda.
Yeah. Thank you.
Birthday.
All right. Motion by Heather to adjourn. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Paxton. All in favor say aye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you all for your efforts.
See y'all. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.